You're listening to The Mystical Positivist. This is your co-host, Rob Schmidt, flying solo this week as the mystical positivist himself, Stuart Gudnick, is away traveling on business for his day job. So instead of our usual conversational format, on this week's show, I contemplate, in words and music, the many chambers of spiritual practice, which is to say, the moment-by-moment renewal of ongoing commitment to engage that unvarnished, intense reality that unfolds thoughts, words, and experience within something greater than what we customarily perceive. So I want to begin with a brief reading from a book that it's pretty old by now. I think it came out in the 80s, actually. I'll double-check that. Life in the Labyrinth, copyright 1986. So it first came out 30 years ago. Amazing. It is written by E.J. Gold. He's my teacher's teacher. Robert Daniel Ennis was a student of E.J.'s. And I just wanted to start off this unusual format show today with a very brief reading from this book. It's from the summary in chapter 1, at the start of chapter 1, of the material presented in that chapter. And E.J. writes, "Unknowingly, we voyage in a labyrinth, a macro-dimensional maze of living electrical force cloaked by a thick layer of ordinary life. Our most serious obstacle is the uncontrollable urge to convert everything to the familiar, to reduce it all to the level of the primate brain, to reject the living, breathing reality and the totality of all possible attention." So that's sort of the starting point, the theme for the show. And in this experimental format that I'm playing around with today, what I want to do is alternate music and words. So to pick up from this piece that I just read, which talks about voyaging in a labyrinth, I'm going to present a piece from a wonderful CD called Utopia Triumphans. It's a piece by a Renaissance composer, Johannes Ockeghem, called Deo Gratias, Thanks Be to God. The full name of the CD, by the way, is Utopia Triumphans, The Great Polyphony of the Renaissance. The CD is pieces on the CD are performed by the Welgus Ensemble, led by Paul van Nevel. This particular piece is beautiful in and of itself, but I also want to recommend that if you get a chance to go to YouTube, you can look up this piece, Deo Gratias, by Johannes Ockeghem, and find a wonderful video that is posted that accompanies the playing of this music. It's a bunch of scenes of nature, and it vastly enhances the experience of listening to this amazing, complex music, something that I hope will evoke for you the complexity of this labyrinth idea. So, Deo Gratias, Thanks Be to God.
Thank you.
So that was Utopia Triumphans, The Great Polyphony of the Renaissance, the CD, and the particular track was Deo Gratias, Thanks Be to God. I hope you enjoyed that piece as much as I do. I first encountered it actually as a result of the seeing the YouTube that I mentioned earlier, which was an amazing moment for me. Not many times do I get to say that on YouTube I get to have an amazing moment, but that was one such for me personally. This is a show that is intended to evoke the moods, the qualities, the variations in spiritual practice. Spiritual practice is this commitment, as I said earlier, to something that enfolds our normal experience, but also includes more than our ordinary experience. So I want to read something from a friend of mine, now deceased, Lee Lazowick. This is from his book, Enlightened Duality, Essays on Art, Beauty, Life, and Reality as It Is. And the chapter is entitled, On the Caravan to the Divine Liars. Liars, beggars, and poets on the caravan to the divine. There's a handy metaphor. It's the name that sponsors give to this seminar, so let's begin with liars. As long as we are defined by our mechanical behavior, we are liars. It is our mechanical behavior rather than our egos that makes us liars, because ego is an element of our existence that can be useful or not useful, depending on how it is used. Our mechanical behavior demonstrates an absolute willingness to be real in the essential domains of money, food, and sex. Furthermore, as long as we are dominated by our mechanical behavior, defined as our unwillingness to function objectively, everything having to do with the truth will be seen by us as a lie. So, this is an interesting concept. It's one that's certainly central to my own spiritual practice, which can be restated, I think, in one way, and that is that we lie to ourselves without intending to all the time in terms of what we're up to, what we're doing, what our actual motivations are. And spiritual practice is a commitment to get to know ourselves, to come to know ourselves, to come to understand what we're doing, what we're up to. And we need help with that. That is, for the vast majority of humanity, the simple truth, certainly my simple truth, and the truth of other practitioners that I have known. Even some of the greatest teachers of the age have had to have their own teachers first to help them break through this pattern of lying to oneself. So I'm going to try to play a piece now on a theme that is a little bit different from that, but I think is related. This is from a lovely CD by Chanticleer. The CD is called Where the Sun Will Never Go Down, Spirituals and Traditional Gospel Music. The piece is called Steal Away. And in a sense, it's about stealing away our commitment to the ordinary and finding something bigger. So, listen and see what you think.
Give me that old
So that was Steal Away, performed by Chanticleer. And one of the things about that music that I'd like to bring to your attention is its clarity of emotional evocation. That is to say, it seems to me that that piece has a delicacy in the way it points the mind and perhaps the heart as well in a direction. And that is central to spiritual practices, as I understand it. We need help. That's one of the things that a teacher does. We need help in directing our attention. You'll recall that the totality of attention is the is what at the conclusion of the reading I did from Life in the Labyrinth earlier. Our attention is distracted, spiritual teachers tell us, E.J. Gold and many, many others. Our attention is distracted. It is distracted by our human, primate, mammalian, biological existence. And we're not seeing things that are going on around us. That's an important insight. So we want to be able to pay attention to that, to recognize what we might be missing, or at least start to at least acknowledge the possibility, number one, at least acknowledge the possibility that we may be missing things about existence, and tune into some of the things that are actually happening. So what are some of the traditional ways to do that? Well, one thing that when I was a child growing up in a Roman Catholic context, I went to parochial school and had a quite strong dose of the Roman Catholic view of the world. One of the things that I didn't get as a kid was the function of praise. Because I didn't understand what I was supposed to be praising. I didn't even really understand what praise was, honestly, in retrospect. Because I didn't know I wasn't big enough myself to find gratitude except in rare moments. I actually think that's not that unusual a situation for people to find themselves in that sort of context. And so in that experience that I had, and that I think is shared by some others, praise for something greater that one doesn't feel connected to doesn't make sense. But when that transition happens, when the heart opens, when the heart breaks open, and one sees something bigger, then there are ways to do that. Now, I want to play a piece which uses the text of one of the most famous pieces in Catholicism. It's "My Soul Exalts the Lord," and it is, of course, an incredibly well-known piece called the Magnificat, the Canticle of the Virgin Mary. And this piece is sung in French, Mon ami exalte le Seigneur, by the monks of Koyer Moussa, a monastery in Africa. And I think you'll find this is a lovely piece. It's not the traditional European sort of setting at all. And yet, this is what these monks are trying to evoke, is that sense of exaltation and praise. So give a listen. See what you think. I think it's a lovely piece, and you be the judge. Thank you. So that was the monks of Khoi Musa Abbey in West Africa. A beautiful piece which brings African rhythms together with the beautiful words of the Magnificat, "My soul doth magnify the Lord." And I'd like to acknowledge, of course, that these monks from Senegal are doing work that is both congruent with the traditions of Roman Catholicism, but I think they're also in this music, starting to do something, add a little extra spice, which is very welcome. And that simply points to the fact that there are many ways to exalt. There are many ways to praise. And there are many experiences that the one praising can have. So one of the texts that I am particularly enamored of is from my friend Regina Sarah Ryan. She has a book. She has a number of books, but this book, my favorite of hers, is called Praying Dangerously, Radical Reliance on God by Regina Sarah Ryan. And she begins the book with a poem entitled Praying Dangerously, which I want to read now. We've actually had her read it on the show before, but for this particular show and the purposes of this show, I want to underscore this point that she makes. So, praying dangerously. Deliver us, O God, O truth, O love, from quiet prayer, from polite and politically correct language, from appropriate gesture and form, and whatever else we think we must put forth to invoke or to praise you. Let us instead pray dangerously, wantonly, lustily, passionately. Let us demand, with every ounce of our strength, let us storm the gates of heaven. Let us shake up ourselves and our plaster saints from the sleep of years. Let us pray dangerously. Let us throw ourselves from the top of the tower. Let us risk a descent to the darkest region of the abyss. Let us put our head into the lion's mouth and direct our feet to the entrance of the dragon's cave. Let us pray dangerously. Let us not hold back a little portion, dealing out our lives, our precious minutes, and our energies, like some efficient accountant. Let us rather pray dangerously, unsafe, profligate, wasteful. Let us ask for nothing less than the infinite to ravage us. Let us ask for nothing less than annihilation in the fires of love. Let us not pray in holy half measures, nor walk the middle path for too long, but pray madly, foolishly. Let us be too ecstatic. Let us be too overwhelmed with sorrow and remorse. Let us be undone and dismembered and gladly. Left to our own devices, ah, what structures of deceit we have created. What battlements erected, what labyrinths woven, what traps set for ourselves and then fallen into. Enough. Let us pray dangerously. Hot prayer, wet prayer, fierce prayer, fiery prayer, improper prayer, exuberant prayer, drunken and completely unrealistic prayer. Let us say yes again and again and again. And yes some more. Let us pray dangerously. The most dangerous prayer is yes. So in that spirit, another piece, also referencing the Virgin Mary, but in a very different mood, to illustrate my thesis for this show.
Thank you.
That was Chloe Goodchild from her CD Devi, D-E-V-I, Devi. And the track was number 4, Ave Maria. So I hope that illustrated my thesis that that praise takes many forms, just as the moods and experience of commitment to spiritual practice takes many forms. That's the theme of this show today. It's to explore some of the moods, themes, and forms of spiritual practice. Not in conversation as we ordinarily do in this show, but instead by using some well-chosen words, hopefully well-chosen on my part, and also hopefully well-chosen music, certainly some beautiful music we've already heard. So to continue, though, on this realm, in this realm of praise, I want to present, in a sense, the opposite. This is a poem by my good friend Red Hawk. It's from a book called Mother Guru, Savitri Love Poems. And the title of this particular poem is A Refusal to Praise My Master. Hopefully you can see why I'm choosing to use this one. A Refusal to Praise My Master. I come from the demon world where sickness runs like a septic river in the veins, and sorrow is the milk the infant is suckled with. Here we do not praise the Master. We blame and curse what is good and right. In this world we insist upon our right to do harm. We suck smoke into the body. We massacre the trees. We poison the water, hit our children. So do not expect praise from me, dear Master. You, who are my every breath and waking thought, you, who pray unceasingly and without rest for the healing of all beings, will not hear a single note of praise issue forth from these parched and bleeding lips. We do not praise the Master in the demon world. We shoot and rape and scorn. We curse and kill and steal and mourn. We laugh and weep and scoff. We are wasted and torn. But we do not praise here, neither the dying nor the newly born. We do not praise your dearest loving eyes, those worn and haunting lights of heaven. We do not praise the one who stands as news of God before us. We do not praise the Dharma King, the bearer of the law which we will not follow. We do not praise the glory of your name. We do not bow before your marvelous countenance and worship the unceasing devotion and unconditional adoration of your love for your father, Yogi Ramsarat Kumar. We will not bow down. We will not acknowledge. We will not worship. We will not follow. We will not praise your majesty. We insist. We demand. We complain. We condemn. We do not praise the master in the demon world. So this beautiful, intense evocation of the reversal of praise, of the denial of praise, which is, of course, an instantiation of the love of the possibility of praise, is a beautiful piece, it seems to me, that that we want to be able to evoke, that we want to be able to feel, that we want to be able to tune into. And yet we have, as I said earlier, all these habits of deceiving ourselves about what we're up to, the important work we're doing, moment by moment. And saying that, I also want to acknowledge that it is equally as true that when we open our hearts to the real world, we also open ourselves to a possibility that does not exist unless we take the steps to do that. It's not simply a matter of will. It is a matter of both commitment and the grace which we tune into when we prepare by committing ourselves. So I want to play another piece now. It's a piece by Lee Loswick, and I should point out that in this last poem I just read, the reference to your father, Yogi Ram Sarat Kumar, is a reference to Lee Loswick, and he's the spiritual teacher whose book I read from, that chapter on the caravan to the divine liars from earlier. And he has a band, or I should say he had a band, several bands actually, and he wrote lyrics for those bands. This particular piece that I want to play for you is called Philosophize, and we'll talk a little bit more about the piece after we listen to it. So that was Lee Loswick from the Lee Loswick Project CD, Live in Europe, with Philosophize, a song by Lee Loswick and Paul Durham. I just want to read those lyrics to you really quickly. Philosophize. Love is the answer to questions unasked. Kindness, the gesture to loosen the mask. Do unto others what would be done to you, the credo of service to get us all through. Life can be easy, life can be tough. Yeah, we have choices, but is it enough to speak in fine phrases, to philosophize, dig into the mud to get to the skies? Anger's the poison that always destroys. Violence, aggression, just games for small boys. But games can get deadly, as we have all seen. The heartbroken remnants of goodness gone mean. Love is the answer when hate asks us why. We feel so helpless as years pass us by. Do unto others the best that you can with gentle affection and two helping hands. So that's another take on some of the experiences of the moods of spiritual practice. And I want to conclude this hour with a brief little set of pieces to demonstrate that humor does not have to be absent from spiritual practice. In fact, it cannot be, in my view. As my own teacher, Robert Daniel Ennis, used to advocate for a mantra called sensa humor, two words, sensa humor. And that's what we'll check out here in this next piece as we go into the top of the hour and go into the station break. So, enjoy.